5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I'm just gonna let the intro play out because it's in my ear already.
Splash trash and duh with your hosts Bradley Baxter and Chris the Bucky.
Welcome to Splash Trash. I'm your host Bradley Baxter. He's Chris Bucky Watts. You already heard that.
What's up, everybody?
In the intro. We're doing something a little different this time, but the rating system is the same. Splash, trash, or meh. But today we're talking comic books that have come out. Again, we record on Wednesday, so they came out today, May 23rd. So
we'll give you a little breakdown what we think, see if it's if they're good, worth picking up, worth reading digitally, worth missing, whatever.
Whatever, bro.
You don't even know.
There was some good stuff to come out this week, but first, we're going to get into a little bit of comic book news. The top comic books of April.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the number one...
Hit me with those toppies.
The number one comic is Action Comics issue number 1,000.
Shocker.
It's almost at 500,000 units sold.
Damn.
And it's an $8 book.
Whoa, it's an $8 book? I meant to go pick it up this week, but I forgot when I went last week. It's $8?
Yeah, because there's like four stories in it.
I bet. It's like a big... I mean, it's a big deal. This is 1,000 issues of the comic that started Superman.
Yep.
Big deal.
And then...
Big deal.
In this I think the last story in it will actually continue on as Brian Michael Bendis takes over Superman. His book's going to be called Man of Steel.
Oh, okay, cool. Great, another comic book.
And then there's... Spider-Man sticking right behind him at issue 798 and 799. And then after that is Hunt for a Wolverine number one. That's a $6 book.
Damn. There's still money in the comic industry, huh?
Yeah. Batman is right behind Wolverine at Batman 44. That's a $3 book.
So wait, if we go back to that, you said they sold 500,000 units at $8 a pop. So just on sales before all the whatever distribution costs, everything, they made $4 million off that book.
Yeah, they also put, but that I feel like that book's got kind of an advantage because there's like a million covers.
That's true. Oh, yeah. And there's that. There's variants, too. You got to think about and collectors and shit. Look out.
So I want. Yeah, but still, comic books is a big $1 million industry. $1 billion industry. Is it $1 billion industry? Someone look that up. Let us know.
Somebody get back to me on that. Can I get some numbers over here? No? Okay.
Wish I had an intern right now and make him look it up. The year to date, comics have sold 27 million copies, which is 10% lower than its previous year.
I mean, with the digital age, it's not immune to it. You know, people are going to read more digital comics now that they can get them that way.
That goes back into our other conversation, Chris.
Streaming. Yeah. Streaming and a buzz of the week. Yeah.
Yeah. We talked a little, well, we're going to get into a full episode down the line sooner or later. But.
Heck yeah.
We talked on Buzz of the Week this week. We talk about cable television and Netflix. What's coming to Netflix in June.
In June.
Nah, not bad. Top five books. This week's release. This week's release is that I think were worthy of being picked up. X-Men Gold 28. We're getting ready for that whole Kitty Pryde Colossus wedding.
The big wedding of the year.
Hunt for Wolverine, Mystery, and Madripoor. Did I say that right?
Yeah. Cool. Madripoor. That's close I'm going to get.
I'll take it.
Madripoor.
So the Hunt for Wolverine story is there's four different side stories as well as the main story. It's like where in the world is Carmen Sandiego, except Wolverine. He's missing from his grave. No one knows where the body is. If it is a body, if he's alive. So it's actually pretty good. And then I'm really excited to read this one. It's Invincible Iron Man 600. I'm anxious to kind of see the wrapping up the whole he's been. Tony Stark's been missing, and Dr. Doom is kind of taking over the mantle of Iron Man. I believe they found him, and now it's going to open up a whole other series for Iron Man. And this is also Brian Michael Bendis' last written Marvel issue. So he's jumping over to DC, so we'll see what happens. And last on here, Infinity Countdown, Dark Hawk. This is very similar.
What is this? Can you tell me about what this is?
So Infinity Countdown is the ultimate race for power, I guess. And, you know, everyone's kind of looking for the Power Stone. And it's towering over a remote asteroid. Some kind of asteroid. and it's grown the size of a building, and Drax is just kicking it on there. He's sitting on it. The big series of the this year that Marvel's doing, and this is like part of that project or part of that story, but there's like a few different ones. There's Infinity Countdown, Adam Warlock, Darkhawk, and a few other characters. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of weird. I'm still being set up, obviously, because everything's still in number ones, but they're looking for the Infinity Stones right now.
Oh, shocker. Yeah.
Surprise.
Damn stones. Everyone's looking for everything all the time. They must be able to adjust size, the stones, in the movie universe at least, because remember when they're like showing the Power Stone in Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and that dude has it in his hammer and he like destroys a whole planet, but it's like in his hammer, it's like massive. But then when they get it, it's like tiny.
Yeah, like, or even like the Tesseract, like it was like basically a box, but then he crushed it and there was like this tiny little
one little cube inside. It's like, so obviously they can be in different forms.
Well, they can do whatever they want. They're the Infinity Stones, I guess, right?
I guess so. Where? Oh, right. The set. Okay, I got it. I remember.
You just remembered, huh?
I remember that the Mind Stone was inside the scepter from the first Avengers, and Ultron broke that casing to put it into Vision.
Right.
Got it.
Good. This week, we're reviewing Despicable Deadpool 300. Chris, I'm sure you're familiar with Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe.
Yes.
Then they came out with Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe again.
Just to find fun ways for him to kill everybody?
Yeah, and then, so this is kind of the end of that. This sparked 3 issues prior, and it was called The Marvel Universe Kills Deadpool.
Right.
So basically, fast-forwarding to catch everybody up, the big series last year was Captain America went brainwashed that he was Hydra, but not.
Yeah, the whole time he's actually always been like a sleeper Hydra agent, and then he was activated, so then he became like Captain Hydra or whatever the fuck.
Right, but it had something to do with the girl who was actually an Infinity Stone, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so long story.
Oh, yeah, it did. That's right.
And like that's how he was like an old wrinkled body, and then like she made him back to Captain America, and it turns out he was like evil Hydra. Anyway, Deadpool.
It's a lot to track.
Yeah, so Deadpool has always kind of wanted to be a part of the Avengers and blah, blah, blah. Long story longer, Captain America calls on him, and he kills Phil Collison, and like while he's following Captain America as a Hydra person, because he murders people for money. That's what he does.
Yeah, what are you gonna do?
And if Captain America tells me to do something, I'm gonna do it.
I'm going to.
So now, all that stuff's kind of catching up to him. He puts a bounty on him, but he can't. Like no one can kill him, obviously. And in this book, at the beginning of the book, is actually really funny. He has this like scent that is so horrific that no one will fight him because they just instantly puke. And it's
jeez.
And
they always find weird things to do.
And there's one character I get towards the end of that scene or whatever. There's a character who comes in who's like a giant guy. I don't know what his name is, but
giant guy works for me.
And so it's not Ant-Man or it's not like Goliath or whatever, but anyway, this fool vomits in the city and let's just throw up everywhere like a river, and all the characters are covered in it. It's pretty funny.
Wow, they really do some weird stuff. Yeah. There's some wackadoodle stuff with Deadpool comics.
Yeah, and the jokes in it, there's a couple of raunchy jokes in it. It's funny. Also, it's a longer book, so it's pretty thick. But all in all, man, I'm gonna give it a splash. It was good. Liked it.
Good. Okay. Good. Splash. And that was the last of that number 300. That now that series is done. It's over.
I believe so.
Pick up all 300 issues.
Yeah, they did a letter at the end. It's like adios. So they're gonna be they're starting a new Deadpool series at number one. I believe that comes out June 6th, 2018.
Another number one.
Another dope couple of comics that came out today that we'll talk about. Black Panther number one, starting his new storyline. This series being written by Chris, how do I say this? You say it. I forgot.
Ta-Nehisi Coates. Ta-Nehisi Coates. We did some research.
Yes.
We did some Googling.
The artist on this is Daniel Acuna. But T'Challa has fought off invaders from his homeland, protecting Wakanda from everything from meddling governments to long-lost gods. Now he will discover that Wakanda is much bigger than he ever dreamed. Excuse me. Across the vast multiverse lies an empire founded in T'Challa's name. readers caught a glimpse of it in Marvel Legacy number 1, which is a book they put out a couple months ago, I believe at the end of last year, or maybe it's like the end of summer last year, before fall.
Yeah.
Now find out the truth behind the intergalactic empire of Wakanda.
Ta-Nehisi
Coates welcomes aboard fan favorite artist Daniel Acuña for a Black Panther story unlike any other.
Black Panther, so hot right now.
I have this book, I haven't read it yet, but he's also writing the Captain America series right now, which is, I hear, is really good. He's actually a really great writer. He actually comes from the world of journalism.
Yeah, I didn't know this. Looking up his name, I ended up seeing an interview with him on Colbert, and but this is like from a couple years back, and when he was doing, like, it was all about the political stuff. He's a writer. He's like a MacArthur genius or a MacArthur fellow for that fellowship. Like, it's wild. I mean, this guy is not the kind of guy you think would be doing comic books, but at the same time, the way comic books had changed now, especially comics like Black Panther, where there's these cultural things, these deeper kind of storylines that tie into things and how we think about our culture and our society. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, no, he's the last series that I'm currently reading as well is really good. So I'm going to give this one a splash.
Splash.
Switching gears to the DC world. There's a new Flash series, or story arc rather, that came out today, and it's called Flash Part 1. This is Flash issue number 47. It's written by Joshua Williamson, and the artist on it is Howard Porter. Chris, you
talking Flash Wars. Yeah, this is going to be cool.
So I'll just read this plot notes and we'll talk about it. Barry Allen and Wally West at war? War?
At war? Question mark? Yeah.
The long-rising tension between mentor and former sidekick is brought to a head when the renegades of... Funk? The renegades of the 25th century come to claim Iris West for the murder of...
Eobard Thawne.
But that's only the beginning
of... Thawne.
That's only the beginning of the plot. It's only the beginning of a plot that will change the future of Flash forever. By the end, it will be Flash versus Flash in a mythology-shaking event.
Boom.
Boom. Chris.
Flash, I mean, this is great.
This is, I believe this is supposed to, from what I read, that this is supposed to change, like, basically eliminate Flashpoint and another Flash. Where did I read that? I literally read that today.
Really? I mean, that when this is the Flash, ever since this whole, you know, in the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years, it's one of those characters that's gained a lot of, like, fan... always been a fan favorite in a lot of ways, but has really gained a lot of traction and become such a big part. They've forced his abilities and powers to be such a big thing and things in arcs like Flashpoint and stuff like that. Plus Barry Allen's awesome and Wally West is great. And so yeah, this whole thing. So it makes sense that now they're like, okay, cool. Let's make it the main story, like full on a Flash war. These two going head on at each other, because that has implications with how they can time travel and use the Speed Force, and how they have enemies that come from the future to them, and how they have people from the past or from different multiverses. And kind of like, this is like a main, not, they're not just a piece of it that helps everybody else get into a big war. This is like full on their war.
Yeah. And they've really brought Flash, I feel like, into the spotlight in the last few years, you know, with the show and the movies. But Flash has always kind of been the one who can piece all the multiverses together and kind of like keep them, like bring people places that they need to be to keep it straight. This should be interesting, putting them head to head before. I've never seen them go head to head before. Have they gone head to head before?
No, I mean, it's always about them being friends. I mean, the Flash family, you know, they're always battling future Flashes or reverse Flash or the God of Flash or Black Flash, which is death. And in the Speed, like there are villains like that, but I mean, this is the first time in my memory that you have like Flash on Flash action. Ooh,
ooh,
ooh!
What was the button I was gonna hit when you said, "Oh, the record scratched"? Dude. Fuck!
Freaking Breer!
I fucked that up. Anyway, I'll just add it later. It'll sound good.
I blow it.
Is this Barry Allen first or is Wally West first
of the
Flashes
of the modern Flash red suit? It's Barry Allen,
and then Wally West.
He's the OG. In the golden age, there was Jay Garrick. He's the one that has like the silver
hat
with the little wings on it. He looks more
he's the one that's got the spaghetti strainer on his head.
Yeah, basically.
Gotcha.
But then it was Barry. Barry will always be my Flash, baby. Mm, yeah, Barry.
So that's going to conclude Splash Trash Math, the comic book edition.
Comic edition.
First one ever. We got it in canon. Yeah. Coming up right after this is our Cheese Splash episode 31, where we talk Deadpool 2. You won't want to miss that, so stick around. Also coming up,
hell yeah,
while we're talking Flash, we're going to do an Arrowverse episode later down the line. I'll have to look at those dates later. But if you are a fan of the show, or any of the Arrowverse shows, rather, send us your theories, your questions, your comments, what you want to talk about. Hit us up at gsplashbc@gmail.com, and we'll go over those on the show. I'm Bradley Baxter. He's Chris Watts. We'll see you at G Splash coming up next. Peace.